Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to the Football Drop Podcast. We're back again. Second episode, season 4.
Guess who's back? Back again. How you doing?
FDP's back.
Tell a friend. Tell all your friends. Tell your dentist.
Tell your friends.
Tell your orthodontist.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Orthodontist does like braces and stuff. Dentist is the whole mouth.
Oh, wow. You're like an expert on this.
Yeah, I'd like to say I wanted to be a dentist, but I didn't.
I went for a stage of wanting to be a dentist.
Did you? What a weird, sad childhood.
Yeah, I'm very accurate.
Sorry, I don't think anyone grows up going, I want to be a dentist.
That's not what happened, but that was really funny. As you said, what a really sad childhood. And then just remained straight faced, like there was any sign of laughing, joking. It was just what a strange childhood, fucking disgust.
Sorry, mate. I apologise.
How's it going, bro? How's it going with you, mate? You alright?
Good. I'm good. I've just come back from football, actually, where you should have been tonight, but you decided to stay in and just be yawning like you are now. So that's good.
It's late.
It's 20 to 10. My God.
Mate, I'm 34 now. I can't do this shit anymore.
44, but yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm tired. It's my first time back in like 3-4 weeks. So it's been interesting.
Did you concede any?
Yeah, quite a few. There's a few 2-on-1s against me, and I literally just, at one point, I just laid down in front of Jamal, and he tried to lob me, and I still caught it, and he just looked at me and went, for God's sake, man! I was like, sorry, Jamal. Like, genuinely, I just don't care anymore. And I had a bit of a scare. Yeah, I can't do his accent, and I realised it was actually out of order, but I saved a shot, and it bent my fingers back, and I don't know if you can see, but the little finger that I broke last time is slightly changing colour. So I'm a little bit concerned.
Good. So when you say you broke last time, you could still be broken.
And yeah, I think it could have. Yeah, I don't think it quite healed. But yeah, it's quite sore, Will. I won't lie to you.
But that's
how my evening's been. How's yours been?
Yeah, not too bad. Spoke to you. We've got a good guest coming up that we've recorded.
We have.
And I will openly say that we have got a guest coming up, because last time I spoke about best guest coming up, and then I had a go at you for mentioning we had a guest coming up. So I apologise for that, by the way. This is growth. I apologise.
Well done. I was wondering whether you would say this or not. That is growth. Congratulations. Well done, my friend.
What was really funny was when you said it to me, I was like, no, And then when I listened back, it was literally like I'd said it about four or five times. You said it once, and then I had it on you to say.
That was the sort of parent in you. That do as I say, not as I do. You're in full dad mode on this podcast. Oh, yeah, thanks, mate.
Yeah, but all good, mate. All good here, just a bit tired.
I was going to say, boring the listeners.
I don't know what's going on.
Guys, believe it or not, we do enjoy doing this podcast. Like, it does give us a buzz. We was really excited for season four. Last week I fucked up with the sound. This week Will's fucked up by just trying to stay awake.
Just getting towards 10 o'clock, mate. My body's going, why aren't you asleep?
Yeah.
Why aren't you winding down? Why are you still buzzing your knocks off?
Well, I'll tell you what, let's get completely stuck in with this because there's quite a lot to go through. And obviously we've got quite a big section with the special guest of the day. So let's get started with the news because it has been a mental day. So we can't get too bogged down. First things first, Neymar's gone to Al Hilal. 80 something million?
Yeah, 100 million euros. Like,
is it too soon?
Fair play.
Is that too soon in his career? Nah. He's only 31.
Nah. He is only 31, but he's had a fair few injuries now, hasn't he? I think he was at a favourite PSG. I don't know where else he would go and earn that sort of money. I think, sadly, honestly, and I mean this really sadly, it's the right place for him to go and wind down now. I think he's...
That's terrible.
I don't know if he would have made it. So Chelsea were heavily linked with him. I actually don't know if he'd have made it in the Premier League.
Yeah, I think I agree. I do think I agree with the Premier League thing. I don't think he's Middle Eastern, Saudi Arabia... Yeah. Ready yet?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if Serie A might have been a good opportunity for him to. But it's trouble is you don't want to become, dare I say it, a Balotelli where you're like on top of the world, like the world's most expensive player. Not Balotelli ever was, but like the world's most expensive player, and then you're like just playing really shit football in France or something.
Which is what he's done for 5 years. So, awkward moment, but yeah. But I think it's too soon, personally. I think it's too soon. I think he should have gone for a different move that would have challenged him, maybe Germany, maybe Italy or something. Give himself a proper challenge, see what happens. But that was a bit.
To see what the.
Sorry, what were you saying?
I was going to say it would be really interesting to hear what our listeners think on that, whether it is too soon or not. I don't know. It could be.
Well, hopefully they're not listening too late like you do, so they'll get tired and start yawning. So hopefully they've not been sent to sleep by your yawning yet.
All right, crack on.
Imagine if he was actually together recording this and not on Teams. God, you'd be more awake. You'd be buzzing for it. But, mate, stop yawning. God, you are ruining this pod, man. Right, so let's move on. So Chelsea have been literally ruining Liverpool today. So Caicedo, there's a big transfer fight for Caicedo. It started in January, obviously, with Arsenal. I think we bid 70 million or 80 million, I think, for him in the end. Brighton said, no, we're not selling him. Signed a new contract. I think we were linked in the summer, but obviously we went for Rice, and I think that sort of cooled off in the end. Chelsea were then in for him. Liverpool then swept in for him. Looked like he was potentially going to Liverpool. Then he got second thoughts about it all. Decided, nope, I had an agreement with Chelsea. I want to go to Chelsea. Chelsea then put a bid in. He is now, as far as I'm aware, the medical is done as of recording now. Obviously, it's Monday night. So I think he's going to be announced as a Chelsea player. So that screws Liverpool over. But then the second one comes in with Romeo Lavia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looked like he was all set for Liverpool. And he's going to go to join Chelsea. Klopp must be livid.
Shithousery at the highest level. Shit-houser at the highest level.
So the two Chelsea recruitment boffins couldn't get the deals done. So Boehly and what's the other guy's name? Egg Daddy? Egg Lads? I don't know. Bag Lady? I can't remember his name. I do apologise.
I literally don't know why you're looking at me and asking.
Nor do I. I mean, you'd probably just be like, Dave. I think his name's Dave. Todd and Dave.
I think it was Egg Haddy.
God knows. But basically, though, the two of them have decided, no, we're doing the negotiations. So literally gone to Brighton and said, what do you want? We'll pay it. And they've gone to Southampton, what do you want? I'll pay it. That's a lot of money, isn't it?
Mate, mental money. With what? With Casado, Enzo and Lavia, what's that, like £300 million in midfielders?
Yeah, give or take. Was it 270? Yeah, something like that. That's mental.
Yeah, I mean, you could round up if you wanted.
Yeah, I think that's how accounting works. You just round it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But obviously, everyone's going to kick off about Chelsea with FFP. They've sold like 20-odd players this window. They've made like 200-odd million in sales alone.
Yeah. And they've some of those deals are done over 8 years. Some of those deals are done over 5 years. So it's all...
Yeah.
It's all going to be above board.
Which is mad. It's mental. He spent £800 million in 18 months.
Yeah. But Pochettino now needs to go and do something that he's not really done before and win things.
Win things, yeah. Yeah, pressure's on. But it's not... it's not really a club where they're used to losing.
Well, not since the Abramovich era, no.
No, no. I mean, that's all Chelsea have been around for, isn't it? Sort of 20, 25 years max. So, do you know, thinking back, I know we've obviously recorded the guest part earlier today. We are slating a lot of teams today in this episode.
Yeah, this is the slating episode.
We have gone full in on everyone here. So, yeah, apologies on that. Chelsea are making waves today. I think they're really good signings, and I think that does bring Chelsea up competing again for top four, definitely, if they gel together. So shocking stuff.
We've also had Harry Kane finally make his decision, and he has Tottenham Hotspurs, and he has joined Bayern Munich. He did what he does best.
I could see the sparkle in your eye. You finally woken up.
Yeah, not yawning now. He decided to go to Bayern Munich, and it was quite strange how he was named on the bench for the game when he signed that day. I kept thinking how strange that was, actually. The more I thought about it, the more I thought, that's a really strange decision. Like, not... To even play him, let alone just like put him on the bench. I thought it was weird. So weird. He doesn't know any of the players, really.
No.
So anyway, he Spursied it, didn't he? Bayern lost 3-0 to Leipzig in the Super Cup.
Do you know what? I can defend him now because he doesn't play for Spurs. He couldn't do a single thing about that result. However, it is still absolutely hilarious that that has happened. His first actual opportunity really to win it within 12 hours of signing for the club. And he's balls it up.
To be honest, either way, whatever happened, if he'd have won it or lost it, we'd have still taken the piss out of Spurs.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. If there's an opportunity, we do go for it. It's weird. We've only had two Spurs fans on this podcast since we started. It's really odd.
Yeah.
I thought we'd have more.
But in terms of Spurs, I think they're up. They're in a bit of trouble here. I know Ange, he's a good manager. I think he can do a lot with not a lot, if that makes sense. But I do worry for Tottenham now. Where do their goals come from? They've got Son, they've got Rich Atkinson. But what actually really is going to happen?
Well, what I also think is a bit strange is they've made Son captain. Would you say he's a leader? Yeah.
Nah, well, I don't really know him that well, to be honest. I don't tend to get in there with me and the Tottenham players don't tend to mix too often, so I couldn't tell you. But surely is he captain of the Korean team?
I don't know him that well. No,
there was a little part of me then that panicked that he's not Korean.
Well, you have to probably specify what part of Korea as well.
Well, okay, yeah, the south. I don't know why it was so hard to say, because I said it correctly and then still caught that. Anyway, should we move on?
This is such a good episode. Loving it. loving it. What else has been happening in the news this week? Lopetegui's left, but I think that had already happened, if I remember rightly.
We spoke about that last week.
Yeah, Gary O'Neill's taken over. And they are playing as we speak, actually, still.
What's the score?
0-0 last time I checked, but obviously I'm recording this podcast now, so I haven't been able to check.
All right, cool, well done. So, Should we move on to the weekend's games?
Yes, the weekend's games.
Hi, guys. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter so you don't miss a thing. How could you? Instagram is at Football Drop Podcast. Twitter is at Football Drop Pod. Thanks, Will, for that. Or just search us on Facebook, Football Drop Podcast.
Shall we start with the actual first game that was played? Burnley versus Manchester City.
What a cracking idea, Benjamin.
Solid 3-0 win for City. Pretty routine. But Burnley did give a good account of themselves, to be fair. I did think they played well.
Varane scored for Man United. But And Casido has actually got the shirt in his hand now, pictures. So,
breaking news.
I think Haaland scored with his first touch.
Yeah, he scored, was it like 3 minutes, 130 odd seconds or something?
Yeah.
Just classic Haaland, here we go. Just give him the golden boot now. Exactly, City looked good though, which is annoying. We knew they were going to look good anyway, didn't we? Let's be honest. Yeah, nobody ever doubted that for a second, did they?
No, and the season is going to be competitive this season. I still don't know if anyone is at Man City's level yet.
No, I don't think they are, but I think you only need to be at the level, you need everyone to be at their level sort of once or twice.
True.
And then they drop a few points and you keep going. I mean, I wouldn't say that Arsenal are at their level, but we gave them a run for most of last season.
Yeah.
Player for player. Yeah. I don't think we matched many, did we? So, interesting.
Pound.
But yeah, moving on to Arsenal. 2-1 win against Forest. Kind of looked routine the first half. Second half, bit squeaky bum time. Like, lightning counter-attack from Forrest, which was really frustrating. You could see it happening a mile away. But as soon as Abouniyi came on, I was like, oh, here we go, he's going to score. You just know he does.
Yeah.
Always seems to. I don't know why he didn't start. It's really weird.
No, he's top quality, though, isn't he? But, yeah, I did think that was weird. I wonder if they had, like, some sort of problem or something at the start. I don't know. But, yeah, I did think that was a bit weird.
But, yeah, so we're up and running. That's always nice to see. I can't complain too much. Sheffield United starts, as they probably will throughout the season, with a loss against Palace at home.
Yeah. 1-0. It's a strange one, isn't it, Sheffield? They've done no business. They probably will do no business, which means they're probably going to go straight back down again.
It's odd. So strange.
Really odd.
Surely you bring in a couple of people that have got a bit of experience. Yes, and a couple of exciting players just to add a bit of energy maybe into the team. I don't know, but I do worry about them.
A bit like Luton. There was plenty of players that could have been picked up, you know, like who did Chelsea? Ross Barkley. Luton picked up, you know, just to add in.
What did you make of that? I thought that was really random. No, I didn't see any rumours or anything like that. Just, we signed for Luton. I was like, what?
We spoke about this last week, mate. But yeah,
it was just weird, though, wasn't it? I thought it was just really strange.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Good bit of business. But yeah, it's just a bit of Premier League experience. That's somebody who Sheffield United need. Even if they don't really play a lot, but they can come on, but they can lead in the changing room. Might be all they need. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Bournemouth, West Ham, 1-1 draw. What did you make of that one? Did you catch much of the highlights or anything?
Yeah. Bowen's got a great goal. Did you look at me in a weird way? Or was that just... No? You good?
No, I think it's you.
Okay, cool. And then Solanke, again, nice goal at the end there with an equaliser. I think Bournemouth will try everything to keep hold of him, and if they do, they'll do all right.
Yeah, he's quite integral to the way they play, isn't he, as well?
Yeah.
What's the next game then, mate? What we got up? What's up next?
Should we go Brighton Luton?
Yeah, can do. Let's just give you a second to get the yawn out, and then we can continue.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah. It's a solid 4-1 win for Brighton. annoyingly, Brighton looked really sharp, really clinical. I know it's against Luton, it's their first game in the Prem. You know, there's going to be excitement, bit of nerves. Obviously, away from home is difficult. Brighton's a difficult place to go. I think it was, excuse me, a result that everyone expected, you know, to go Brighton's way. But it's a bit of a baptism of fire for Luton.
Some may say.
Everton Fulham. Nice, cheeky 1-0 win for Fulham there.
Yeah, they're unlucky, Everton. They just can't score goals. That's their problem. I don't really know where their goals come from. Do you?
They didn't come from anywhere at the weekend, mate, so they didn't score.
Oh, yeah, no, cool, great. Great bit of analysis there. Going forward,
yeah, I really don't know. No one can really chip in with goals there. You know, Iwobi's not exactly known for his goal scoring prowess. Calvert-Lewin can't stay fit for 10 games in a row.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Iwobi's a good honestly, player, but he's not a goal scoring player. He'll chip in with you.
They've brought in that. I've forgotten the name now, but they've brought in that youngster striker. Not Jackson. I can't think of his name.
They just signed Jack Harrison as well, weren't they, on loan from Leeds?
Yes, they have. That went through today, didn't it?
Yeah, so he can chip in with a couple of goals. But again, it's not that goal-scoring machine that they need. It's going to get them, yeah, for sort of a club at their level, 10, 15 goals a season, isn't it?
No.
I fear for them.
And what did you think of the disallowed goal for them?
I didn't see that one.
So Bern Leno basically dropped the ball on, I think it was Tarkowski? How'd you say it? Tarkowski.
That's how Sean Dyche said it, yeah. Tarks. Call him Tarks.
Tarks. And yeah, he dropped it on his head, and then he then kind of lost the ball because he dropped it, and they put it in the back of the net, and then it was disallowed.
If he dropped it, it's fair game.
But yeah, exactly. It was a bit weird. I don't really understand it. But there you go.
That's really strange. That's proper strange. Newcastle battered Villa 5-1.
Mate, what a game that was.
Filthy performance. Yeah. Newcastle just looked unplayable.
I mean, defensively, Villa weren't very good, and Tyrone Mings is out, and he bless him.
Yeah, that looks a bad injury.
Yeah.
Really bad injury. But yeah, Newcastle definitely made the most of that, though. I mean, Tonali, with that finish, was like a Shearer sort of finish. Just in the box. He just came from nowhere and just all of a sudden, yeah, get a leg to it, bang, it's in.
Yeah.
Isak is just, what a buy. What a buy, getting Isak.
Unbelievable, just, yeah.
He can finish anywhere. Left foot, right foot, head. Whatever you need him to do, he can go and do.
Yeah.
And then Callum Wilson still chipped in with a goal as well. Having two strikers that will score is just, yeah, no other team really have that apart from City, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. Alvarez will always score, won't he?
Yeah. And I also, I don't know if you've if you've heard that they pronounced Guimarães slightly differently.
Oh, go on. How do they say it then? Guimarães?
It was like Guimarães or something like that. It was Chimiti from Sporting Lisbon. Everton have just signed.
I've never even heard of them.
Yeah, I knew there was someone, the striker, but I just couldn't think of the name. That was who it was.
Oh, well done. Cheers for the knowledge.
We had a couple of games yesterday as well, didn't we?
We did Brentford 2, Tottenham 2. Ooh, Tottenham looked a little bit leaky.
Yeah, they did. They went ahead first, but then
went ahead, fell behind.
And then it managed to get the equaliser. Yeah,
it'll take a while to get used to different tactics. Obviously, Ange Postecoglou wants to play attacking football, which they've not been able to do for, 2.5 years now? So it's going to be a big mentality shift. They've just lost Harry Kane like 2 days before their first game of the season, so that must be a bit hard to deal with. I thought Brentford actually looked quite solid. I know we said last week we're a little bit concerned potentially for Brentford.
Yeah.
They hadn't made many sort of big, well, not big signings, but many signings generally. But good game. Good entertaining game. And then the other game yesterday was a big one, Chelsea-Liverpool. Which I was kind of hoping after the whole transfer debacles, I was really hoping they'd wheel Moises Caicedo out at half-time and announce him. I would be like, ultimate shit house.
Fucking brilliant.
It's about half-time entertainment. What's happened? Oh, Moises Caicedo! See all the Liverpool fans just going absolutely bonkers at them. But it unfortunately didn't happen. Entertaining 1-1 draw.
Entertaining. Good game. Probably a fair result for both teams. So, yeah, they'll be pleased with that. And then we've just had Man United, so we haven't seen it, so we can't do anything on it. Not that we've really done much on it, anything, but we've just had Man United beat Wolves 1-0.
We have full-time result is there. Full-time result. So, Predictions Cup is back. I think you've got the update now as well, I believe.
I do. It's 10 to you, 12 to me. So we're going to do it with... Now, I'll put this proposal forward to you right now. Oh, would you like to do it the way that we did it last season?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we'll
Would you like me to also keep a running tally of how we would have done it in the olden days, where we get 1 point for an exact result and see who wins both at the end of the season?
If you'd like to. If you're able to keep a tally of it accurately, then yeah, then absolutely. As long as you don't, you know, diddle me out of points like you did last season, make up some scores, give yourself, I've randomly got another 14 points. I'm like, what a shame, what a surprise. And Will won by 14 points last season. Oh my God, it's mental.
Yeah, okay, that did happen, but it was genuine.
Well, you say it's genuine. We've got no facts or evidence to back that up. I just have to take your word for it. And well, we always trust your word. Like when you did the Euro roundup and, you know, said the wrong teams played and wrong scores happened. I know Ali called you out a lot last season on that. But so, I trust you. It's okay.
With the Euro roundup, that will be back. Next week we'll do that, just to give everybody a bit of an extra week to sort of figure out where they are with the Premier League and stuff. Plus the fact we are going to be running out of time.
We are running out of time.
But we have got a good guest coming up now, haven't we?
We have. Honestly, I've been excited to try and get him on for probably a couple of months now. And as they say, if you shoot your shot, you see what happens.
Hey guys, here at the Football Drop Podcast, we'd love to hear all your comments, feedback and funny stories. If you'd like us to share them on the pod, please email us at footballdroppodcast@hotmail.com. Thank you.
Got I think you can probably say world famous guest at this point. He's got, was it 600,000 social media followers or 650K, isn't it? So, Dev, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Yeah, all good. God, wasn't expecting that opener.
I love how red you've gone now as well. We have to have a slight stitch up on this podcast. Will and I do each other at some stage once a week. So, yeah, no, thank you for coming on. Really excited for this one. Properly excited. So, for the listeners, tell us a bit about yourself, a bit about your background, and what you've been up to.
Yeah, so thanks for having me on as well. So, my name's Dev, 650,000 followers online, as you say. As you say.
Brag.
I guess, like, I always find it difficult to describe myself, even though I work in, like, recruitment, sort of, like, as my general career choice. Like, I ask people the same question and I can't answer it myself, but like, I guess self-confessed sort of football nerd, content creator slash like writer slash like hobbyist, all that kind of stuff. So kind of just day by day trying to live out the life as that I wanted as a kid is basically what I'm doing now. So yeah, that's essentially me in a nutshell.
Nice. How did myself and Will always say that we're obsessed with football. You do take it to a whole different level. So what I want to know first and foremost is, how did that love affair start for you?
I don't really know. I think when it comes to football or like sport in general, you can always sort of pinpoint like a part where it sort of became like second nature. And I just remember, I think as a kid, you need to have your heroes. Like, that's probably where you get enticed to everything, whether that's film, sport, or whatever it might be. So for me, I remember actually, a funny story, I think when I was younger, like, favourite colour is red. And I remember at the time, about 2002-03, I actually really liked Liverpool. It's a story that my dad reminds me of, because I remember they had, like, the Reebok kit, the Carlsberg sponsor. They had a few of my favourite players. Like, I loved Emil Heskey for some reason. I loved Berger. I liked Fowler. I liked all them, like, old school players. And then my dad, I remember saying to dad, like, oh, I think I like Liverpool. And he's like, no, you don't. And he took me to watch, he made me watch, like, every United game that came on. My dad is a G. Like, we had, like, ITV, obviously, but Sky Sports. And he even bought, like, Setanta when that was a thing, and ESPN in the UK. Like, we watched every game together. And then I slowly just got obsessed with Ruud van Nistelrooy. And that's still, to this day, my favourite player of all time. And then my dad took me to the first game to watch United. And we got an away ticket to watch West Brom v United in the League Cup. I think it must have been, like, 2003-04. And then we lost that game 2-0, and we had to sit with the Albion fans. And I remember crying and telling my dad to take me home at halftime. And then I didn't want to watch it again. And it's weird how things just stick out in your mind. But I remember we got home and I said to him, I hate football, never watching it again. And he said, don't worry, one day I'll take you to watch Ruud van Nistelrooy. That was his one kind of promise to me. And then February of the same season, he took me to United to watch Man United Fulham, and we beat them 4-2 when Van Nistelrooy scored twice, and we were in the Stretford End. And since that day, it was just it's like a drug. You're trying to constantly get to that that sort of stage. Yeah. But and that's where it kind of came from. And then over time, like, as a kid, you love collecting things. You love, like, just watching the heroes and being quite simple with it. And then as soon as you gets more sophisticated as you grow up, then you start looking at it from a different lens, and then you find different areas of interest. So I'm a bit of a sad over nerd, and then I just kept developing my own areas of interest. But it all started because of that that trip to Old Trafford. So can't forget that.
Amazing. I love the fact you can pinpoint that exact moment where it just turned. Like, I genuinely couldn't. If you asked me that, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you when it was.
Yeah, most fans can't. If I didn't have that one thing, I'd still love football. I'd probably still be the exact same, but I do have that one hero, that one person, and it was Ruud. And that one memory will always stand out to me.
Oh, that's amazing. What was it about Van Nistelrooy?
Oh, as a kid, like, there were two players, actually. There were three players. One didn't actually play for United. I did actually really like Thierry Henry, honourable mention. But, like, I really loved Thierry Henry. And Ronaldinho is obvious. But, like, there were three players. For some reason, I was just obsessed. So Van Nistelrooy was one, just because he scored all the goals. He was 150 goals, 210 games for United, and you can't. That's one of the best strike records ever of a Man United player.
He was so clinical, wasn't he?
He was the best. Yeah. Like, I can't. There's a word that I use, like, in my book. There's a word that I use to describe him Shevchenko, Henry, and players of that ilk. Like, they were just inevitable strikers. You expected them to score at some point. And you can't use that for a lot of players. Like, even the greats, you can't say that about, like, the Drogbas or, like, certain players. But definitely with him, you could. And, he just scored all the time, so that was easy. But I used to love Diego Forlan as well, for, like, no reason. He, like, I don't know what it, like, as a kid, again, like, ponytail, headband, he just looked cool, like, name Diego. It was just exotic, and like, I just loved him for some reason. And this was at a time, like, I grew up during the transitional period of United, of that early 2000s, where, like, Varane, Bellion, Jemba, like, all these idiots were playing for United, and four
Eric Lambs Jemba, that's a throwback name, my god,
honestly. But I loved Forlan, and then he scored two at Anfield, and I remember just everyone loved him after that. And Adriano was the other one of Inter Milan. Absolutely loved him. Oh, okay. So those three kind of players, probably Pezzo 6 is the reason I like Adriano so much. But like, yeah, those three. But Van Nistelrooy was just like, it's just everything. He was big. He had the name was cool. He had long hair. He was different. He was clinical. He didn't care, like, if anyone else didn't score as long as he did. He's the kind of striker. He's like a Haaland. He was like an original Haaland-esque striker. Like, he doesn't care what else he does in the game as long as he scores. Like, Van Nistelrooy was, yeah, for me, the best striker that United have ever had in their lifetime, for me.
Nice. Wow. Old.
I can't think of anyone that's better, honestly.
Honestly, after this goes out, everyone is going to be commenting, like, how can you forget about this player? How can you forget about that player? But, oh,
no, I've looked, I can, okay, yeah, you can look back, Dennis Law, you've got Dennis Violet, you've got Stapleton, you've got Hughes, you've got Cole, York. I get that, but the strike record of Rude in the era he did it, yeah, no one comes clear for Rude, yeah, too good.
No, I completely agree.
I just think of Martin Keown. When you miss that pen, that's
I knew you. Like, I can't ever get through, like,
two hours. The big grin of, like, shut up.
I hate that. And I'll say this now. When we broke your streak, it was at Old Trafford, wasn't it? It was at the 50 game, and we broke it. Yeah. We never deserved to break that. Because we didn't get at least two sending offs, one for on Reyes, I remember. And then the first goal, I think, was offside, I want to say. Yeah. And Rude got a pen, which I don't think was a pen in the end. But yeah, we take them, hold that.
Grin on your face, yeah.
Good. Yeah, let's take it.
I'm really, really glad you came on today, Dev. Thanks for that. just harsh reminders, mate, harsh reminders. okay, so you mentioned on there, of course, your book. So tell us all about what books? Books plural here at this stage as well now. So how did that come about? What sparked that? And tell us all about it, really.
Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to do one. And when I was younger, like, you could tell I'm a waffler. I've been a waffler since day one. So my English teacher always said I'd be able to write one. It's just a case of discipline and if I could really go on and do it. And then during COVID, when we had so much time in our hands, like, I had a job as well that was quite menial. It was a bit, like, number heavy, and I could just, like, plug in, plug out, and I needed some kind of release for it. And I was watching a podcast, actually, with the True Geordie and David Icke. It was really random, but he said, I think he's a conspiracy theorist, well-known conspiracy theorist, and he said, as soon as you look at isolated incidents, they mean nothing. You pull out and you see this web of things that come together to make the big picture. And I thought, well, football's similar in that if I was to look at something, football back in the 80s or 60s or whatever, take it to now, there have to be things that happened along the way to take us from there. So the football spiderweb was born, the first ever book that I did. And that was an interesting one because it was my first ever one. It was self-published on Amazon, which anyone can do, which is the best thing about it. You can just put any old crap you want on Amazon, and if people buy it, they buy it. But no, that was really cool. I remember people buying it who had no affiliation with me, who didn't know me, and still supported it. So that then led on to my second book, which was published, which before I realized with the first one, it was very generic. So I had to kind of, if you're going to get anything published, this is a bit of advice to anyone who's trying to get it published. You have to, for football in particular, you need to specialize it and then target whoever your publishers are. So Pitch are a very well-known publisher who do the most random teams at times. And aside from United, I'd probably say the team that I loved most as a kid or respected was the AC Milan team of around 2004, 2006, where, like, you know, Maldini, Nesta, Seedorf, Kaká, Shevchenko, Dida. Dida was one of my favourite goalkeepers again. I don't know why, but I just loved him. And then I was looking into it, and Milan's a funny one because unless you're amazing, it's similar like outside of the UK, I think. Like, we, like I just said, I love Forlan for no reason. And, you know, fans, a lot of United fans have the same thing. You guys as Arsenal fans might love Quincy, Owosu, Abeyi for all I know, but like there's going to be some random ones that you love. But in Milan or in Madrid or Barca, they don't really have that. It's either you're good or you're not. And the team with Rijkaard, Hullet, Van Basten, called the Immortals, like they're well known for that. Then you had the original Invincibles under Capello, who won 58 games or didn't lose in a 58 game stretch. It was before you guys, and then, you know, you guys took on that. And then the one after that that I grew up with, no one really remembered, and it's partly because the Istanbul final, partly because of Calciopoli and a few other things that went on. So I gave them a name, called them the Conquerors, because they went through all that and still came out on top. And then it just did numbers to me. It took off quite well because it did it. We released it at the right time because Milan had made it to the Champions League semi-final this year and they played Inter. And the last time that happened was the famous Rui Costa Materazzi moment where they're looking at the flares and the game got called off. And I talk about that in the book because it was quite a big moment. So yeah, the stars just kind of aligned for that, which was great. And most recently, nice. More information to come, but I've written a book with Boavista FC, which is a Portuguese team in the Portuguese league. And yeah, it's about the inauguration of the club in general, but like a fictionalized story around it, like kind of a Jack and Rose Titanic meets football. That's the only way I can explain it, but okay. That'll be coming to the UK soon, but once it's out, then yeah, go ahead and check that one out. But for now,
happy days.
Two, but technically three, yeah.
And can we The Conquerors, is that on Amazon and things to it buy is. As well?
Yeah, it's on Amazon, WH Smith, Barnes & Noble for the US listeners. So yeah, Amazon, definitely the easiest, but yeah, all available.
Happy days. That sounds amazing. Wait, do you reckon we should write a book, FDP book?
I think all of the listeners are screaming no.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Okay, so, Dev, you've clearly been a bloody busy guy. So how do you get the time to do your normal recruitment job, start up Hobby FC? There was another thing that I'm sure was on your profile at some stage, and it's gone. Was it Ultras?
Yeah.
So that seemed to disappear. What was that all about?
Yeah, so first bit of the question, I don't really have much of a life outside of football and work. But I take my enjoyment from different things. Everyone does. I don't need to go out all the time. I never have needed that. I'd much prefer to watch a non-league game at 7:45 on a random Tuesday than go out drinking. It's just always been the way that's since uni. So so right now, I'm unemployed, so I've got loads of time to be getting on with whatever the hell I want to do, which is great, while looking for a job. But even during work, I was always good at separating the two. So at work, you're there to work and that's it. And then as soon as you get off, you just start doing whatever you want to do. So I think I always like creating things. So I liked hated saying I wasn't doing anything outside of work, or I wasn't, like, I didn't have much more to offer. So I was always, like, trying to see the next thing to write about, or trying to, like, build a bit more of a platform, or even just something that I could take my name and say that's what I did. So with books, there's always a shelf life to them. And I noticed, like, no matter what the book is about, unless it's edition after edition, people are going to forget it eventually. It's not going to be Harry Potter. Like, I'm aware my book has a limited life sometimes, but I then thought, well, the internet is ever evolving. I could start in a blog is quite simple once you've got it down to a bit more of a science. So I started my first one, which was Ultra United, and that was basically to tell the stories of players and teams and moments that people seem to forget, but ultras never do. So I put it out there, and we used to get people to write. I say we, it was me, but I used to get people to write for us, and they'd take the ad revenue. We were very, like, open about it. And I used to say to them, like, when they're like, oh, who should I write about? It's like, if you're an Arsenal fan, don't talk to me about Thierry Henry, Dennis Bergkamp, or Mark Overmars. Talk to me about Remy Gard when he was there, or, like, who else? Like, Pascal Siegan, where did he go off to? Or, like, just some of the random ones, or, like, the cult heroes when you've got Abu Diaby, how good could he have been? Or, like, those kind of pub chat things.
Yeah.
And it did all right. And then as I was doing it, I kept, because you have to, like, link things back to your article and, like, research for it. And companies like Libero and Kit Mag and These Football Times were just doing it better than us. And I just thought, well, how about we just not do that anymore? Because I was not getting the traction after a lot of work with it, and the idea was kind of spent. So I then tried to look at a bit more of a market that hadn't been tapped into yet. And I'm big in the football shirt world, always have been, and big in the collectibles world. So I just thought, okay, is there a dedicated platform for football collectors? And the answer was no, not really. If you like shirts, you need to get your info from here. You go to Classic Football Shirts or eBay or, like, wherever you go, and then you hope it's the right price. You resell it based on nothing and then hope for the best. Like, there's not really much out there. And I thought if we could consolidate that and put it in one place, that would be quite helpful for collectors. And then Hobby FC was born out of that. So it's only really like 2-3 months since it was released. And the point of it is everyone can kind of find what they like or find their niche in a form of hobby that is associated with football. So for me, I like shirts, but cards and stickers were always my thing. I'm surrounded by, like, a few of them now because I just love them as a kid. So we do things like, you know, what are the most expensive cards from this season, cards you want to look for, like best investment value, all that kind of stuff. And then we do that across the different hobbies. So, you know, traveling's a hobby, leisure, activities, cards, stickers, figures, shirts. It just, the list goes on and on. So the idea is to hopefully just keep building out the content and churning it through so that we get a platform that if you're a seasoned collector or a newbie, you can just come here, learn and grow and buy and sell. And we'll see where that goes. But it's an idea that's not been done yet. So I'm hoping I can take it where it needs to go.
Wow. Amazing. So you are busy. Would you prioritize? Are you more into, like, the book side of things, being an author, or is it more into that hobby side?
It kind of depends. I think, like, with the books, you always kind of have a deadline, so that naturally takes priority over everything else. And if I go to bed not finishing a chapter, I'll feel awful. But if I go to bed thinking I can do that article tomorrow, I won't really care because that can be done tomorrow. So I think my heart is more into hobby because I genuinely think that that's something that could do really well. Like, if we do it in the right way with the merchandising, with my own personal brand as well, tying into it, I think it's something that could really do well. So yeah, really with time, it has to be the books, because also people tend to criticize the books a lot more freely than they do to criticize an article. So I tend to, yeah, take more time out of that. But generally, I think, like, right now, I've come up with two book ideas that I want to go forward and see if it's worth doing. But until that gets signed off, then it's hobby all the way.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you've got any ideas of going forward on next. Is that any? Is it? Although you'd about to say, maybe saying too much, if you don't want to. But is there more sort of around the history of football clubs as well? That's the sort of ideas that you
Yeah, so there's three really, and that I'm looking to kind of flesh out. But I'm looking to do one of them at least self-published, just because I have a lot more control over it, and I can publish it whenever, I can reduce the price whenever, and all that stuff. And Amazon is brilliant for that, because you just upload what you want to upload, and then you check it, and it's just up to you. Liability is up to you and everything, but it still gets sent on Prime and all these things. So I probably most likely do that. But the two that I might look for a publisher's help on, will one of them, I'm stuck either between, you guys can help me with this, on which one you prefer to read, but I would like to either do it about the Galacticos of Real Madrid, the original Galacticos, and how it failed, because it technically it failed. It's either that one or Rijkaard's Barcelona leading up to the Champions League where they beat you. So it kind of depends on which one you want to read.
I know what one's going to hurt more reading.
But no, there's those two that I'm kind of messing with, and then one for sure is a kind of legal football route. So I haven't got a name for it yet, but I'd like to go through the key cases and bits of legislation that changed football forever. So Bosman's the obvious, but then there are certain cases that I just didn't really know about. I think there was a case in Romania where they tried to trade a player for like 6 goats or something really weird, and they ended up doing it, and then they said, because one of the goats had died, or he was diseased, something like that, and they tried to get the money, they tried to get the player back, because it wasn't fulfilled. So there's loads of like things like that. Hooliganism was obviously massive, and we had an act to stop us going into Europe. So there's a lot of history with that. And a fictional one, now that I've kind of dipped my toes into that, I've come up with an idea that's a little bit polarizing, and I need to really look into it before I can say what it is, or if I can actually write about it. But yeah, there's 3 or 4 that I'm like toying with at the moment.
Sounds great. Why don't you just do them all?
Yeah, why not? Might as well.
I think to me the one that sticks out is the Galacticos, because you're right. It the quality in that team, the amount of money they spent, and actually what did they do, and why didn't it work?
I don't think they won the league. I think they won the league once, and famously they didn't win the league after Ronaldo came. So they signed the best striker in the world, probably of all time in my opinion, and they didn't win the Champions League. And they signed Zidane, they signed Beckham, Owen, Figo. Figo was the one that really like got up people's backs, but then they often sold Makélélé and Hierro and didn't reinvest into the defence. And I think there's weird stories from that, like they went on a Japanese tour and they weren't allowed to play the game until they finished the adverts that they were supposed to do for the week leading up to it. So they didn't get their fitness for the season. Then they fell to 16th, I think, in La Liga after 6 games, sacked their manager, he took them up to 3rd, sacked him. And then they brought in Carlos Queiroz, who said to them, you should buy Cristiano Ronaldo. They didn't. And then he went back to United and they signed him instead. So it's just a comedy of errors with that club. So that would be a good one. But I'm wondering if it's written about too much to do it. So that's my only thing. So most likely it might be Rijkaard's, just because I do like Frank Rijkaard. And that team was a special one.
Special team. Yeah, they both were for very different reasons.
Yes.
Is that... That era of football then, that kind of sort of mid-noughties, is that your favourite era of football? Yeah, I would agree.
I think it's the best. I think I didn't get to live through the late 90s, but if I was to look at the players and the quality and even just the purity of it a bit, I think the late 90s to early 2000s was the best era. I think in Serie A at the time, if you look at this, I think it's the 97-98 season, it's probably the best array of talent we've ever seen, where you've got a Totti, a Batistuta, a Del Piero, a Ronaldo was at the time, Vieri, Seedorf, all compacted into an array. I think Baggio was at Sampdoria, you had Hullet at Sampdoria, you had all these incredible players, but all just in one league. And then the Premier League came into its own, and being a United fan, that was obviously a great period for us. I think nostalgia does come into it. I'm not blind to that, but I think that is the best era of football, because you could never really tell who was going to win the league. Like United, we won a lot. We never blitzed it though. We never went and got 90 odd points, 100 points ever. I think our highest was maybe 91, but then you had Arsenal, then you had the Chelsea, then you had like Liverpool breaking up the rear, and it was always a bit of a competition. Now it's just spend the most, employ the best, and you'll win. It's a bit it's a bit sad. But yeah, for me, that was the best.
I'd agree. And I think as well, if you're looking at Serie A and La Liga as well, the amount of quality that was in both of those leagues. So even like with Valencia and some of the players they had there, like just absolute quality.
I'm glad you brought up Valencia. Yeah, Valencia was a sad one because David Villa, Silva, Albeda, Cañizares, I remember Ayala was there. And then now, even Villarreal, when Forlan went, was good. Atletico, when they had Forlan and Aguero, it's all changed a bit. And there's a lot of great clubs that have just kind of, they're not great anymore. And that makes me upset because it's usually through mismanagement that they're just not great. Like us, to be honest, we're a top club, a great club, but we're not where we should be. And I think that was a period where just clubs were run really, not well, but they were run to the point where it was exciting. Like Parma, I remember they had they had Zola and Aspria and Veron, Crespo, now I think they just got out of Serie B last season, and it's that shouldn't be happening to them. Similarly with Lazio, it shouldn't have happened. So yeah, it's sad. And then the Glazers came in and ruined us, so that period up until then was awesome.
Well, it's good to see where you sit with the Glazers ownership model there. So made that crystal clear completely unprompted, but yeah.
I hate them so much, honestly. I want nothing but the worst for that family. I can't stand them.
I guess obviously you're talking about obviously the Glazers and stuff now. So, and obviously Man United, they have fallen from grace a little bit, but you still you're being competitive in some of the competitions and you're giving it a good go. How do you think you've done over the summer?
Some signings I'm really happy with. So the Onana signing is fantastic. 47 million, I think, upfront fee at least. We'll probably pay the extras because there'll be appearances. Knowing us, we won't do stuff if he wins Champions League, it'll be if he gets 10 caps, then yeah, go on, here's another 10 mil. We're idiots. But I think Onana's a transformative signing because you talk about you guys last season, not you guys specifically, but Arsenal, talked about Ramsdale until you were blue in the face because how he distributes the ball. But Ramsdale is not doing what Onana did in that Champions League. In the final of the Champions League, he carried Inter to the very last embers of the game, and he was absolutely awesome. And he's probably deploying a bit more of a Neuer-style goalkeeping. He comes out to the halfway line, not the edge of the box. Yeah. There is a difference. I know he got lobbed in pre-season and everyone had a laugh, but Ramsdale got lobbed in the Europa League and he was on the D. Onana was nearly at the centre circle. So he's going to get lobbed, so that's fine. But so there will be times when he will look and think, we need a De Gea to pull off a last-minute save because no one in the world was better than him. We had the best goalkeeper in the world for about 4 to 5 years. So the game's moved on and we need someone different. And Onana is going to be fantastic. Great in the air, great with his feet. Good shot stopper as well. So we've got a very good keeper there. We signed also, Hoyland is the next big one. So the Hoyland versus Haaland debate is just going to annoy everyone. Their names are similar. Well, they're nowhere near alike. He's nearly two-footed, this guy. He doesn't really head the ball. He just powers through. He's a great dribbler. For someone so big, he's a great dribbler of the ball. Great hold-up play. He always slides in the wingers. He doesn't care about getting goals all the time. So making that comparison is never going to work. But he's a good kid, and we wanted him. He wanted us. Ten Hag got his man, so that's the most important thing. Mason Mount, jury's out. I'm not happy with the Mason Mount signing at all, because you think if you guys end up getting Mohamed Kudus as an example, and he's 40 million euros and he's 2 years younger, I think he's taller, he's quicker, better at a long range shot, he's got everything. Mount is very good player, obviously he's a great player, but just really underwhelming. And you've given 50 million to Chelsea, who have now gone and put double that into Caicedo, which we should have got a couple of seasons ago. So it's I think we've still got about 2 or 3 transfers away from being a really good window, and that includes outgoings, getting rid of Fred, thank God. I love the guy, but he had to go. So we got rid of him, we got rid of De Gea, we got rid of Phil Jones, we got that lump of lard off our books. Why he was there, I don't know. And then
Slabhead's still Williams, there, though. Slabhead is still waiting.
He'll go. I don't buy into this whole fighting for your play stuff. I'm like, you're just on a really good salary and that's all you care about, lad. Like, we don't like you. There's a point where you need to look at yourself and think, am I in the right position for me, my family, and putting everyone through this? We don't want you there. I know you've got a great wage. Get out. Before it gets really toxic and you start seeing the hatred for Man United, like we've given Woodward, like we've gave the Glazers, you need to get out, because it's getting a bit toxic for Maguire. But McTominay might stay, and that's okay, because we still could get some good money for him. But we need an Amrabat. If it was up to me, you give me Gift Orban from Genk, you give me Sofyan Amrabat, and you probably give me Tadiba as a centre back, and then sell McTominay, sell Maguire, sell Brandon Williams, and then I'll be happy.
Yeah, fair play. Nice. Sounds good.
So Glazers, Ed Woodward, guys, if you're listening, Dev has told you what you need to do.
Yeah.
If not, he'll write about it in his next book, so watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
Who do you think is going to win the league this season then? Is it going to be competitive?
Yeah. This will be probably the most competitive league we've had in about 4 or 5 years, in my opinion, just because there's strength everywhere. So you guys look strong. City are City. Liverpool need to see who they're going to sign, because I think they just lost Lavia today as well. So
yeah, it looks 60 million. It looks like he's going to go to Chelsea as well,
which is stupid. Like, I'm sorry, but for Lavia, Caicedo and Enzo, good players, they're not great, they're good. You don't pay 100 million plus or 60. The market's just gone stupid, because now we look at Casemiro, who was like 60. People think that was stupid. He was the best in the world at his position, and they say we're stupid. It's like,
that's okay, like bargain hunting by comparison now, isn't it? 60 mil for Casemiro.
Exactly. Like Hoyland shouldn't have been 70. I'm aware of that, but we're Man United and we don't know how to operate, so we'll pay 70. Like, that's just how we are. That's why I'm happy though. Onana was a good price, I'll give them that. And selling Fred for like 15, 20, that's pretty good business. And Elanga. But no, I think they look good. If Chelsea get a striker, another striker with Nico Jackson, that's dangerous, to be fair, because then they need a goalkeeper. I'm pretty sure they'll go for Mannion now from AC Milan. Mm. If they get him and another striker to pair with Jackson, then you've got Lavia, Caicedo and Enzo in the midfield. You've got Badi Ashley. Fofana, unfortunately, is out, and that's such a sad blow. But like, Badi Ashley, Dizazi looked good, Chilwell and James, you've got injuries, but you've got backups. And then that's an insane. Pochettino, insane. Tottenham are Tottenham. They're not going to be anywhere near. And then we...
Dev, all of a sudden, you're a favourite on this podcast.
I hate Tottenham. I don't know what it is. Like, they're just nothing. I don't like.
They're just one of those clubs, aren't they? You just if they were abolished tomorrow, would you sit there and go, I kind of miss Tottenham? Wouldn't, would you? You just wouldn't.
I'd miss Villa, I'd miss Everton, I'd miss Newcastle. I can't stand Tottenham. It's the badge is dead, and the kits are, they've had the same kit for like 8 years. And it's like, they're just really, they're like a hospital, like antiseptic kind of vibe. It's just no. Stadium's great, but other than that, it's horrible. But yeah, I like Tottenham, they're not going to make it. Newcastle, going to be in and around, so they'll be quite fun. But no, I'm interested, because we're one of them teams as well. Like, if we just get a purple patch, we're dangerous, because we were title challengers for about 4 or 5 weeks of last season, which isn't a long time, but considering people didn't think we'd finish 8th or 9th, like, that's a great season. So Ten Hag is a brilliant manager, but I don't think we're good enough to challenge, but you guys are, so I desperately want Arsenal to win the league over City badly. Because I was rooting for you last season and you bottled it. You did bottle it. But I really want you to go and win it this year.
We did bottle it, yeah. We tried to... I think we had about 3 weeks and we was like, no, we haven't bottled it yet. There's still time. And then I think it was 1 week you sent, yeah, we bottled it. Yeah, it's done. And the whole episode was just such a downer. I remember it. Yeah. Like, oh, man. We've done it.
But no, I think you guys can win it, because actually, like, I'm devastated that Timber's injured, because that shouldn't happen to a young player. But Arsenal, like, you're one of the old great clubs. I'd say behind Liverpool and United, it is Arsenal. It's just a fact. And you deserve, for this team and for this, like, manager, for as long as you've worked, like, you deserve a bit of success. Like, as just a pure footballing head, you do deserve it. So, yeah. And City are boring. Like, they've got 115 charges. They pay out a lawyer every time to get through it. You lot should have had Champions League 2 years ago, and then they should have got dropped out, and then they said no because they used their lawyers again. Like, I'm sick of City. They're a fake club. They copied our badge. They own like 6-7 different clubs. They launder money across 10 different leagues, and I just don't appreciate them. So if you guys win it, that's fine by me. That's absolutely fine.
Not pulling any punches here. Not pulling any punches. I'm
lying. I hate them, honestly. This is what unemployed life does to you. You're just like, that's it. I say what I want.
It's all that pent up frustration, like, that I've had enough now.
Fair play. So my last question is, what about the bottom? Who are you predicting to go down?
It's got to be Sheffield United, isn't it? They've signed one player. I think they signed that guy from Coventry. I forgot his name.
That's it.
But he...
Was it Coventry or was it Blackburn?
It was like Gustavo something. Gustavo Hamer?
That's right. Yeah,
I think he's from Cov, but... They're gone. I don't see the point. They shouldn't have even shown up. They should have got to the end of last season and were like, oh, just give it to like Norwich or something. Because at least Norwich are a bit of fun. Sheffield United are just bought.
Don't mention that N-word team to him. Oh my God. Will has got a serious like issues with Norwich. He absolutely hates them because they just go up and down,
Yeah, they are annoying. Yeah. But yeah, I don't like Sheffield United. I think they'll go. I have nothing against them. I just don't really like them. So I think they'll go down. I worry for Wolves, weirdly. I don't think they'll go down, but I do worry that they're going to struggle a bit because they just look a bit aimless. Losing their manager is a bit weird, but Gary O'Neill's good. Watch them today. They'll probably put in a shift in against us today, guaranteed, because everyone does against United. But, like, yeah, they're a bit of a worry. And then Bournemouth, maybe? I don't see much of Bournemouth because I think they'll lose Solanke as well because he's linked with quite a few different clubs. So if they lose him, they're in trouble. And they've got that manager thing where if it works out, great, because they've got that ex-Athletic Bilbao one, Iraola. Mm. But then if it doesn't work out, they're going to be in a Leeds where they'll be looking for managers all throughout the season and get the wrong one, go for Allardyce and he doesn't keep them up and all that kind of stuff. So probably them three. I'd probably say that, but... Burnley's come up, they're not going down. I'll be shocked if Burnley go down because they're in such a nice position. And who's the other one that came up?
Luton.
I think they'll just like shithouse their way to like a 14th, 15th because when you go to Luton, I think it'll be a problem. Like, I don't see you going to Sheffield United and it being a problem or going to Bournemouth or to Wolves and it being a problem. But Luton, they might have that Wimbledon little shit out about them. And I hope they stay up. It would be quite nice if they did because that's a nice little club.
Yeah, the Premier League players, they're not going to be used to, you know, going into a ground that's just like that. Like, how do you get in? Are you going through someone's garden and looking over and whatever? All the fans are going to be like, what the hell is this? Obviously, the ground, I know they've spent loads of money on the new pitch, relaying that and stuff, but... It's not going to be like the carpets you get at the Emirates, at Old Trafford, at Anfield and stuff. They're not going to be used to that. It's going to be those shithousery, like long grass tactics. Don't water it at all.
I quite like that, though. That's a hop back to the old days. But like, it's one of them where you'll see a City dominate the ball, but can they get it in the back of the net? I remember they went to Forest last season and drew 1-1. Like, that's very... Like Luton are capable of that, but you guys, like, you've got Saliba and like people who are very technical, but you disrupt that game plan and all of a sudden it's a new game. And us, we struggle away at grounds like that. We've always struggled away at Everton for a close small ground. At Fulham we always struggled, like, so especially when you play wide football, which we do. So it'll be interesting. I don't want them to go down, so my heart's probably saying keep them up ahead of like Wolves or something, but like, yeah, that's I don't know, they probably will go down, but I hope not.
I can see Wolves going down as well, especially with the loss of Lopetegui because of not spending money, not bringing anyone in, getting rid of Neves and Jimenez.
And Jimenez, yeah.
Strange, yeah.
Fulham. Jimenez in the league as well. That just doesn't make any sense. But, like, I don't know. Was it, they lost Adama, didn't they? Didn't Traore go?
Yeah, Traore's gone to Fulham on a free, yeah.
I thought we were done with him, Mr. Baby. He scares me because whenever he comes on, you just think, all right, you got Luke Shaw now. What's he going to do? I love Luke Shaw, but he's overweight. He broke his leg like 3 years ago. Like, he's slow. He's not the fastest left back. I'm aware of that. And then Dallo is useless. So mark this. Whenever we play Fulham, I think we're playing him in like 4 or 5 weeks. If it's away at Fulham and Adama comes on, he's scoring. It's just, he's bound to score now or just cause havoc. He will. He'll probably injure Martinez.
I say, he'll probably cause havoc, but he's got no end product whatsoever.
That's his problem, isn't it?
He just literally runs and then you can see him, he'd be like, oh, he's running to the stands, oh, he's lost the ball, never mind, he can't stop, he's going so quick.
But we've got Onana now, so he's probably at the halfway line by the time you get to the
Yeah, just kicking a general direction of the goal, and Onana's definitely not going to be there. He's gone to head up for a corner.
The fans are going to hate him. I don't think people realise what we've got in him, because it's going to be infuriating to watch him sometimes. But it's the modern game, so we'll see. But yeah,
it's great to read those.
Yeah, very good. I'm happy we got it.
I think that's kind of it, I guess, from me. Just apart from a massive thank you for coming on, mate.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Great talk, yeah.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it, guys.
No, wicked. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Please give us 5-star on your podcast provider, whatever one that may be, and help us hashtag drop the pod.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Feel like this.